Actually, this is an introduction to a message that I preached about three years ago. And I went back and developed it a little more. On Sunday, we preached the message, What the Resurrection of Jesus Christ Established. Okay, what it either brought to light or confirmed. Remember, we talked about the Christ, in fact, was God, and lived up to the claim that he claimed he was, because only God can resurrect from the dead. How that he was the sinless Son of God. He was above sin. He was not a sinner who fought the urge, but rather he had no urge because he had no sin nature, because his father was not a fallen man. His father was God in heaven, and we preached along those lines. Well, I want to go to on the other side now, and I want to a parallel message, and I want to share with you some truths, some changes made possible by the resurrection of Christ. What the resurrection established Sunday morning, and now what the resurrection changed or made possible is where I'm going. And I'd like to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we have a number of verses, so I will not read the text, because we'll read it in the course of the message. 1 Corinthians 15, and beginning in verse number 30, let's bow our heads. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us now. Lord, we need your strength. We need the clarity of thought. We need, Lord, presence of mind. Our Lord, we need more than anything else the Word of God to come alive to us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be overcomers tonight because of the changes that the resurrection allowed. In Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. And be seated. I'm going to alliterate some thoughts tonight with the letter D. And D is a hard one sometimes to use. I think if you watch me, I use P a lot of P's, a lot of I's, a lot of things you can do with I's. But I'm using D's tonight, fourth letter of the alphabet. But I think it's in the text. I think it's no strain that what we're looking at. Change is made possible by the resurrection. First of all, we see here in the scripture a change of dimension. What do you mean by that, preacher? A change of dimension. He said, verse 30, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Now he's making an argument here for the resurrection. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, if that's all there is to it. Be not deceived, he says. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not, that body shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Now, what he's saying is that we are going to have bodies similar to the ones that are sowed, but changed. We're going to see him like as he is, and we're going to be like him. But we're going to be in a different dimension. We're not just going to be spirits out here running around and floating around and spooks or whatever. That's not it. No. We're going to enter a new realm that we don't know anything about. He says, verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there are one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So in this, we're talking about a change of dimension. And if I can get this thought through, if I can just kind of get this focused, we're promised more than just life after death. We're promised life before death with a difference. Do you know why that we face the opposition from sinners? Simply because they're blinded and they're walking in their sin. And it tells on them when you start marriage amendments and other things and preachers start coming out against it. Look out. Because there's a spirit inside of me and he ain't going to tell me one thing and tell you something else. And he ain't going to tell our forefathers for 2,000 years, this is wicked, this is wicked, this is wicked, and suddenly tell you, give you some revelation, and oh no, this is good. You've lost your ever-loving mind. Okay? It's just the way that works. I want you to understand, listen, you do not have to live like dogs. The Steels, when they were doing a song, "We Want America Back," he said, "I'm not raising dogs in my house. I'm not raising dogs." And you watch Lost Humanity, and I don't care. Lost Humanity is the same wherever. I mean, it don't matter. It don't matter the language. It don't matter the country. It don't matter. They're out for themselves. It's root hog or die. They'll do anything or whatever it takes to get what they want, satisfy the lust of their flesh. It's just the way it is. And when I get around folks, and when I see folks, and the more I'm out in public, the more I see it. And the more I see that these people, all they know is this single dimension. That's all they know. Does that make any sense? It's like looking at a black and white TV compared to high definition Blu-ray. Liquid crystal. Looks like you can stick your finger in it. It's dimensional. And you have the world that's watching a flat black and white round tube, like we used to watch. And then you have God's youngins looking through eyes like God looks through. And we see the dimensions to it. Listen to me. If this is it, and this is all there is, and there's nothing else, I could say this, that if there's no hell to shun or heaven to gain, hey, we're still doing all right because we're living a good life and. But the truth of the matter is, if this was it, I probably wouldn't be in this pulpit tonight. If this was the only dimension there was, then you'd be out trying to get all the gusto you could get, would you? Yeah. That's And you know where gusto, the word gusto, it's a beer commercial, you know where gusto comes from? It's just a mispronunciation. Well, I say that's a mispronunciation. I guess maybe in a different language. But in Spanish, gusto, mucho gusto, much pleasure. You know, thank you very much, much pleasure. Do you know what the beer commercial was saying all that time? Got to get all the pleasure in life you can get. And there is a group that live from high to high, from joint to joint, from bottle to bottle, from hit to hit, snort to snort, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do. And they're living the short term. And it makes me feel good right now. Yeah, but it's burning your body up. Yeah, but it makes me feel good right now. Yeah, but it's ultimately killing you. No, but it don't bother me. It don't hurt me. It don't harm me. Well, you may not see it today. You may not see it tomorrow, but it is hurting you. I've had people blow smoke in my face and say, cigarette smoking won't hurt you. And there are those that have beat the odds. And there are those who died a very, very young age. I know a boy that died on his just after his 19th birthday from chewing tobacco. Got a spot on his inside of his gum. And it's interesting because his dad was a deacon, I think, of a Baptist church. And I had some dealings with him, and he actually blowed smoke in my face. So they were a big tobacco family. And this boy apparently started dipping at a very young age. He developed a callus-like place on the inside of his gum. And then it got sore. And he went to the dentist. His teeth were hurting. And his dentist told him, said, you need to see a doctor. And the dentist knew what it was. And that boy went to the doctor. And they couldn't even do surgery. He died. I can take and show you proximity of his grave if you want to know. He didn't make his 20th birthday. You say, but not everybody does that. No, my grandpa chewed tobacco until he was 80-something year old. Now, he did die of cancer, but it wasn't of the mouth. Okay? But the point I'm trying to make is, just because what this here right now, well, this ain't going to hurt. This drink ain't going to hurt. No, but you put this one and this one and this one together and you get cirrhosis of the liver. That's how it works. And we could go on with that. So there's another dimension. I'm glad that God's youngins can live in a dimension beyond a flat black and white world that's dog eat dog and get what you can get now or else. I'm glad that in the midst of controversies like we're involved in, that I can, almost like an eagle looking down upon a situation, I can get in this book and realize that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and realize that as far as God's concerned, we won. And positionally, we're there. Practically, we're still here, but positionally, we're there. And so there is the resurrection made possible a change of our dimension. The resurrection also made possible a change of our destiny. The latter part of verse 42, where I stopped reading. So also the resurrection of the dead, period. Next sentence, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. A change in destiny. Understand that a body destined for the grave can become a body destined for glory. This old body was born to die. Right? And without the resurrection, the dying process would have been eternal. And it may be that we have to lay these old bodies down. It's very likely, unless the Lord comes, that many of us will have to lay this body down. It'll get to the point we can't stay in these bodies, nor would we want to, past a certain point. It becomes too painful, and you wouldn't want to. Not when you've got heaven waiting. But what if this is all there was? Wouldn't you want to wouldn't you want to hang on to everything you got? But thank God we have a change in destiny. My destination has changed. We were talking, and they were talking about how everything used to be, if you went out of Asheville, you had to go to Atlanta. I don't care if you flew out of Asheville, you always had to go to Atlanta. And nowadays they got some stuff that don't do that, but used to be, if you went anywhere, you had to lay over in Atlanta. And somebody said to me one day, they said, well, you'll have a layover in Atlanta if you die and go to heaven. I said, nope, it's not true. I said, that one's nonstop. Now, if you go the other place, you're liable to have a layover in Atlanta. I wouldn't doubt that one, you know. But underground Atlanta, maybe, you know, somewhere. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't surprise me that. But no, the one going yon way is nonstop. And so a change in our destiny. This body that was designed for the grave is now destined for glory. Everybody's talking about time travel and space travel, all these things. Look, I'm going to leave out of here some of these days. Amen. Primitive said, a ride without an airplane. I'm going to take a plain air ride instead of an airplane ride. I'm going to take a plain air ride one of these days. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to come back and pick up this body one of these days. If one outruns the other. If death overtake before the rapture. But this body's going to it's going to be changed. And it's going to be capable of space travel. Without a backpack, without an air pack. I've always wanted to fly. The one thing that I really hate about 2012, that I am so stinking disappointed about the future. But Gary, I just knew by now we'd be flying around with them Buck Rogers jobs. I just knew we would. Huh? 2012? Come on. And instead we're driving Priuses. What happened? What happened? When I was a teenager, we was driving big block Chevelles. And now we're driving Priuses. And by the way, I stand corrected. Stand corrected. I got a photo. One of our people sent me a photo of a Prius with a conservative bumper sticker on the back of it. It's the only one of its kind in the world. But there is one. So the exception proves the rule. I thought sure, by 2000, son, we're going to be flying around with them nifty jetpacks and we'll be zipping around here and all this stuff. I can't even pass my physical to get pilot's license to fly a 1967 Cessna 150. Future ain't so hot after all, you know. Not only am I not flying around a jetpack, I just barely. Matter of fact, I only got a 1 year on my CDL this week. How about that? Instead of the regular 2 years, they restricted me to 1 year. Yeah. You think I like that? Not a bit. But guess what? I got a change in destiny. And where we're heading, you don't even need no jetpack. We're going to be getting around. We're going to be getting around. That's right. How do you know? Because that's how Jesus did it. We don't know what we'll be like, but we know we'll be like him. He could eat. I like that. I don't think he needed to, but he could. He could go through walls. He could be in here and then he could be here. And he didn't have to walk to get there. Say, explain that, preacher. I'm telling you, I can't explain it. But I'm liking it more and more every day. I'm talking about a change in destiny because of the resurrection of Christ. There's going to be a change in our dress because of the resurrection of Christ. It's in the text. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. One of these days, we are going to lay down these old bodies that are charred with the lust of the flesh. And we're going to pick up a body that's going to be clothed in light, bright and shining. That's what we're going to wear. Our apparel is going to be light. I think that's what Adam and Eve had on. Now, this is Martinology. I can't prove it, okay? But this is what I'm thinking, and I'll give you my basis. Moses, God put Moses from the cleft of the rock and passed by, and Moses only saw his hinder part, put his hand over him, and he walked by. And Moses' face glowed. You go through the Old Testament and there is the Shekinah glory. There was the glory cloud and the Shekinah glory that was holy. I don't think you can walk with God in the cool of the evening, day after day, without shining, do you? I'm telling you, I think Adam and Eve were clothed in the glory of God. I can't prove it. But I got more scripture for it, and you got to get it. You say, but the Bible says they were naked. Yeah, but they weren't. They didn't know they was naked until light went out. And when the light went out, when sin entered, can you imagine? Now think of this. And I know our minds would go and think, and our depraved minds would immediately go to the lust of the flesh. But I promise you that Eve was much more beautiful, clothed in the Shekinah glory of God, than she was naked. Adam was much more beautiful, more handsome, more becoming, more attractive. That's why they tried to hide themselves. Nobody told them they were. I mean, the light. I believe the light went out. And when the light went out, they realized they didn't have nothing on because they had lost the glory of God. I'm looking forward to being a change of dress. Not address, but a change of dress. Look in verse 43, the latter part. The Bible says it's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. I'm liking this one more and more, especially tonight. Because of the resurrection, there will be a change of disposition. And we talk about disposition, we talk about somebody being grumpy, usually. But what I'm talking about here is swapping a feeble body for a flawless body because of the resurrection. I like that. Old brother Don Whaley. Don was a twin. He had a twin sister. And Don, when they were born early, or premature, and they put them in an incubator like they used to. And because their lungs were not fully developed, they turned the oxygen up real high. And the oxygen burnt the retinas in their eyes. Don's sister could tell the difference between daylight and dark. But that's all. Don could not. If it was a cloud, he could feel the sun on his face, but he could look directly into the sun. And other than feeling the rays of the sun on his face, he could not tell you if the sun was out or if it was cloudy. I never will forget taking him to the motel one night and unlocked a door, and he went in. It's pitch dark in there. And I said, Brother, you want me to turn the light on for you? Just out of instinct. I was over at Fairfield at J&S. I said, you want me to turn the light on for you? And he turned and looked at me like he could see me, you know. He turned and looked at me and said, sure, if it'll make you feel better. He said, it's click up, click down. So that's the only thing I know. Said, it makes no difference to me. So, preacher, I live in a world like this all the time. But I just couldn't feel good about me putting him in this dark room. But he lives there all the time. And I asked him one time, I said, brother, if medical science were to allow an eye transplant one of these days, you know, burn his retinas, and what if you could actually get an eye transplant one of these days, or a part of the eye, and they could fix what's wrong with you? What would you think about that? He said, well, preacher, I'll be truthful with you. He said, I guess in a lot of ways I'm naive, because I've never seen a lot of the things that sighted people have. He said, but on the other hand, I've never missed it. He said, I've never been tempted by pornography because I've never seen it. He said, I've never been tempted by, you know, because I've never seen it. And he said, you know, probably not. He said, because the first thing I plan to lay eyes on is the Lord Jesus. And he says, as it stands right now, the first thing I will ever see will be his face. And he said, I'll see him face to face, preacher. And I said, son, it makes me want to go blind. You know, the problem is I've seen too much. That's my problem. My old eyes have seen too much. But can you imagine that? Opening your eyes for the very first time. And not only to see color and depth and beauty and all of that, but to see the Savior and to open your eyes in a perfect world, never having seen any of the degradation and the... Yeah. Well, a change in disposition. And I realize these are similar in some degree. Verse 44, there's a change of dynamics. The Bible says it's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And of course, I'm talking about a body engineered for this world. A body that we can enjoy the world to come. A change of dynamics. Verse 45. There's going to be a change because of the resurrection, a change of dynasty. Look what the scripture says. There's quite a few verses here. But it talks about Adam. It talks about how that Adam, he was made a quickening spirit. Verse number 47, though, the first man is of the earth, earthly. But look at this. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to have a new Lord. Second man, as the Lord of heaven. We're going to have a new life, shall bear the image of the heavenly. And we're going to have a new likeness. The Bible says, verse 52, and we shall be changed, the last part of that verse. We shall be changed. So there's going to be a change of dynasty. And by the way, the world and all that's in it is going to be wrapped up. And Christ Jesus is going to set up a new dynasty upon the earth. He will reign for 1,000 years from the seed of his father David. And that may be closer than you think. It may just be right around the corner. And then look in verse number 53. There's a change of durability. What does that mean? Well, we were teaching in Sunday school. We're talking about living 950. How old is Methuselah? 950 what? 969. And I just thought to myself, things had to be different. Because as bad a shape as my body's got in these few years here, half a century, what if you lived 9 centuries? So then I'd be in some kind of foul shape if I keep going down at this rate. Oh, my word. But we're gonna have a change of durability. Durability. You know, Share-a-thon was wonderful, and I had people say, "Preacher, boy, we need this to go on another week." And I ain't one problem with that. By Sunday night, I was tired. I couldn't hardly breathe. And as long as the Spirit is moving, son, I felt like a teenager. But when we go home and realize all them shines you'd cut, and there's an ache and a pain to go with every one of them, I'm going, praise God. Woo! You talk about feeling rough. Can you imagine being able to stand the glory of God indefinitely? I'm talking about indefinitely, just be able to stand the very presence of. You can't stand it long. I've had people try to tell me, "Oh yeah, we was in the glory for 3 weeks." You might have been in a good meeting, and you might have been in a very good meeting. I dare very seriously, you was in the glory for no 3 weeks. How you know, preacher? I said, because he'd kill you. You couldn't take it. I mean, you couldn't take it. You couldn't stand it. Be like poor L.H. was. We went up Little Canada, put up a tent. We got in the four corners of the tent and prayed over that thing, and the power of God fell on us. And, son, I mean, it was on big time. And we got in the glory. And we got in the glory to the point. Was anybody here with us? Larry, was you there? Was anybody here? You'd remember that one. Nobody was here? LH was there, and two or three others were there. We got on them tent posts and prayed, and the power of God fell. And I'm sure it's because LH had laid in them hollers and prayed for months prior. Because it didn't take much praying. Pray it down. And it fell in there on us, surreal. And I know people, you got to be careful what you say and how you say it. But I'm going to be honest, when you get preoccupied with the presence of God, you just get preoccupied. You ever gone somewhere and you're preoccupied with something that's on the radio, or preoccupied praying, or preoccupied with conversation in the car, and you arrive at your destination and can't tell you how you got there? You ever done that? That's kind of like what the glory is like. It's not that you were out of the body and you weren't there. You were there, but you were just preoccupied. And you really didn't notice what was going on around you. We were in the glory, and everything turned a bright orange. And it was the oddest color orange. It was this real bright. Started to say UT orange, but Clemson orange. No, it wasn't. It was orange. DOT orange. It was orange. Real orange. And I said, so this is what heaven looks like. Somehow or another, I always thought it was Carolina blue. But dogged if it ain't Clemson orange here, you know, something ain't right. And I'm telling the truth when I say this. And I reached up to touch it. Because it just looked like you could just touch it. It was bright and you could just, and it was almost like I was in a dream. And I started patting it. And I said, well, heaven's soft. It's orange and it's soft. And before the Lord, that's the truth. If I've ever told it, I'm standing here, I'm telling you the truth. I looked down and realized that I was 25 feet up a tent pole. I had climbed the center pole. And I was 25 feet in the air, and I was banging on the canvas of the orange and green tent. You say they don't believe that. Got witnesses. Problem is, I went up in the spirit. Now when I realized I was up there, now you got to get down in the flesh. I must have went up it pretty rapidly because I don't even remember going up it. But it took me a while to get down it. Now, I have to be honest with you. But that was the same meeting Paul L.H. was preaching. And he preached till he slobbered, till he preached till he couldn't preach. And there's a absolutely tearing the house down. And he pacing back and forth, and he preached, and then he got to where he's humped over preaching. And then he got to where he is plumbed down. Then he got on his knees crawling back and forth of preaching. And finally he come by me on all fours, still preaching. And he looked up at me and he said, hey, God, pray it off of me. Preacher, it's killing me. It's killing me. Pray it off of me. It's killing me. That was his prayer. He said he was wanting me to pray the power of God off of him. He said, it's killing me, preacher. Pray it off of me. Pray it off of me. I'd never had a prayer request like that before. I ain't never had nobody ever ask me to pray the power of God off of them. I've had several ask me to pray the power of God on them, but never off of them. But as sure as I stand here, that's what he said. Powerful, powerful, powerful meeting. But what I'm telling you is that there's going to come a time that we're going to stand in his very presence all the time. And it's going to be glory, glory, glory from here right on through. And no more decay, no more death. We're going to have, you know what durable power of attorney is? We're going to have a durable power, but not of attorney. We're durable power. We're going to come out on yon end. And then if we had time, we'd look on, there's a change of dominion. Verse 54 through the end of the chapter. And we dealt with some of this already just the other day, some of these same verses. But I'm glad to report to you that the resurrection changed everything. There's some things the resurrection established, but there's also some things that the resurrection changed. And for the child of God, as dark as it may get, we do not have to despair. Because there's better things in store for them that love God and wait on his appearing, look to his appearing.